I'll be honest with you. That's hard to follow. I was thinking while they were singing, Brother Doug, I don't know if I'm going to support you or not, but I want to support your children. Amen. I was thinking while they were singing, tell the average teenage girl in America, kids, we feel like it's God's will that we move to a country where there's no electricity, where there's no running water, and then see them get up and sing about it. Learn the language as a child to go over and help mom and dad. That stirs my soul, man. If it don't, yours, something's wrong with you. I love you, kids. And I just rejoice. Your dad's been my friend a long time. And I don't know, I think maybe the first time I preached at Lighthouse, that maybe it was that very night. It just seemed like God knit our hearts together. And I appreciate you, Mom. But just watching you grow up and seeing you going out to serve God, man, it's just a thrill. Y'all give me a minute and I'll preach. Hebrews chapter number 10. Hebrews chapter number 10. Y'all enjoy that? Say amen. Amen. I could have let them sing a little while longer. I was kind of enjoying that thoroughly. Amen. Hebrews chapter number 10. I'm going to talk to you about something just for a few minutes tonight. I know we got the auction and all that stuff, and Lord willing, we'll open the doors of the church at the end of the service. We don't do that very often, but I do it upon request, and we've had requests for that tonight, so we'll do that also. But I want to talk to you about one of the things that I struggled with greatly as a young Christian. Anybody that's been saved for a while, if you sit down and talk with them, they'll tell you what was the hardest thing. When you get saved, there's going to be change. If there's no change, I doubt you got it. Amen. If there's no change whatsoever, I doubt you got it. But everybody struggles in different areas. Would you agree? What may tempt me may not tempt you at all. You know, I love shiny things. I love chrome. I love old cars, and I love Harley Davidsons, and I love stuff like that. And that may not have no interest to you at all. You may like pasta. I hate pasta. I'm never tempted by pasta. Amen. I'm not very tempted by Chinese food. I'm not tempted by sweets. And some of y'all, you'll prove yourself here in just a little while, paying double for what a cake will cost. Amen. But something that I really struggle with, and still a little bit today, but I'll be honest with you, it's a lot better than what it was. Won't you look with me at verse number 36, Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 36. I want you to look at this first phrase. I'm going to read the whole verse. He said, "For ye have need of," say the word with me.
Patience.
Let's do that again. "For ye have need of" what?
Patience.
"Of patience." Now, would you agree with me that God has timing down pat? Let me ask you that again. Would you agree that God has timing down pat? In other words, He knows what He's doing. Not just what He's doing in the universe, but He knows what He's doing in your life. Amen. He knows what He's doing in my life. And one of my greatest problems in life, all my life, and then really when I got saved, is patience. It's like, "Lord, give me patience and give it to me now." Amen. I've always been an impatient person. I want everything right now. I don't want to have to go through the process, but there is sometimes the process is necessary for your life. Amen. Let's finish reading the verse. He said, "For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise." Now, for a few minutes tonight, I want to talk to you about patience and some areas of your life where you need to learn to be patient. Let me ask you a question. I want you to be real honest. How many of you have ever got ahead of God? Come on, be real honest. Kind of like you cut your nose off in spite of your face, that kind of deal. Can't see the forest for the trees. You know something may be God's will, and that's a good thing to know. But God's will also has a time. I tell this to our young people all the time. I have a 15-year-old, 16-year-old boy tell me, "I know this girl is the will of God for my life." That could be. That could very well be. I met my wife when she was 12. I was 13. I met my wife when she was 12 years old. I told my mother that very week, I will marry her. My mama laughed in my face. But I knew in my heart that's who I'd spend the rest of my life with. Was that the will of God? Yes, it was the will of God. People are like, y'all don't love my wife? I'm resigning, amen. She's back there in the nursery tonight and she told me to preach real fast. I always preach long when she's in the nursery. So anyway, that was the will of God, but the timing wasn't right. Amen. The timing wasn't right. God has a will, but God also has a timing. And a lot of times that timing, I think, is a process that God has to take you through. Does that make sense? For us to do the will of God and know the will of God is two different things. Take Brother Burton and his family, for instance. Deputation may be necessary. Amen. I mean, deputation. God may have them go through a process getting them ready for what they're about to do down the road. Would you agree with that? If I'd have got saved and God had thrown me right in the middle of this at 605 Main Street in Villarica, I wouldn't make it. Amen. There was some growing that had to be done. There was some experience that I had to go through. There was some valleys, if you will, that I had to go through. There was some trials that I had to go through. I'm telling you, God's process is just as important as God's will. You ever feel like God's got you in the processor? My wife's got one of them things that sits on the kitchen counter. Y'all know what I'm talking about? It's a food processor, I guess. It's got a set of blades in it, and you can put whatever in there. She makes slaw for everything. She put that cabbage in there, and you hit a little button, and it just grinds it all to bits, just right in front of your face. I feel like God has me in one of those things every now and then. Amen. Brother Todd testified this morning and said, "Have you ever felt like you was having one of those days?" He said, "Well, I've had one of those months." Amen. Everything happens for a reason. You understand that? And God knows what He's doing in every situation. I want you to take your Bible, just go over a few pages to the right in James chapter number 5. James chapter number 5. I want to give you some areas tonight where we need to learn to be patient and wait on God. That's one of the hardest things I had to learn in my Christian life. God put me through a trial. Here it's been maybe 7 years ago, somewhere in that neighborhood. I really thought with all my heart that it was God's will that we buy center fields. These ball fields right up the road. It turned out that was not God's will. But it also turns out, I think God let me think it was His will. Looking back, I can see full well now where it was not His will. If we were there right now, we'd be bankrupt. Amen. We'd be bankrupt. But God was putting me through a process. And I realized, you know what He was teaching me? Patience. Patience. I was thinking the other day, I was driving by there, and I thought, He could just be letting the city of Villarica fix that up for us. You never know, man. Amen. But God was teaching me something through that. And in other words, I felt like an utter failure. It really had an effect on me for a while. It really did. I felt like an utter failure and embarrassment, but that was a process that wasn't comfortable to go through, but God had to bring me through it to teach me something else about Him. Amen. Now I want you to notice, are you in James chapter number 5? Amen. I want you to show you some areas where if we're not careful, we'll jump ship or we'll get out ahead of God. James chapter 5 and verse number 11. He said, "Behold, we count them happy which endure." Y'all know what it means to endure? It means you need to go through something. To endure something is a vacation you don't endure, you enjoy. A tumor, Brother Burton, you endure. A sickness, you endure. He said in verse number 11, he said, "We count them happy which endure." He said, "Ye have heard of the patience of who? Job, and ye have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy." Let me say first of all tonight that we will suffer. Amen. Brother Randy Pike wrote that book, Suffering and Death, the Saint's Highest Calling. I've given so many of those things away. But he is exactly right. God has a purpose in suffering in our lives. Amen. And in suffering, we need to be patient. Amen. Here's our big deal. We get into a suffering situation, whether it be a sickness. We could suffer financial difficulty. And we have. We're doing it as a church right now. We're suffering financial difficulty. The economy's in the tank. Everybody in our church was involved somehow in the housing industry. And of course, you know the story. There's no housing industry anymore. But anyway, you can suffer in many ways. Would you agree? Sometimes you can suffer with health situations. Sometimes you can suffer with job situations, money situations. You can suffer in many ways. But we need to learn to be patient in suffering. Amen. If we're not careful what we do when we're suffering, we got to try to help God out. Somebody once said, when you don't know what to do, don't do nothing. Yeah, right. Amen. I've gotten myself in more messes when I get into a suffering situation. Well, let's try this, let's try this, let's try this, let's try this. Why don't we just try this? Yeah. Amen. Amen. Would you agree? Yeah. Why don't we just try this? He said, I want you to remember Job. He said, when you suffer, I want you to remember Job. Maybe God put the book of Job right there in the middle of the Bible for you and I to help us to get through our times of suffering. Amen. We can, look, there's not a one of us, no matter what we go through, we can't read the book of Job and go, yeah, buddy, you just thought you had problems. Isn't that amazing? Like when Job went through some, I don't know anybody that lost 10 kids, lost all their fortune, in one day. I don't know anybody like that. I don't know anybody who sat in sackcloth and ashes, had sore boils from the top of their head to the sole of their feet. I don't know anybody like that. I don't know anybody whose wife said, why don't you just curse God and die? I don't know anybody who had three precious friends like Job had, who came around and told him how sorry he was, how wicked he was. I don't know anybody like that. So every time I'm suffering, I can look at Job and I go, wow. I ain't got it near as bad as Job did. Here's somebody who was going through something more than I'm even imagining going through. And look at the end of Job. Look at the attitude of Job. Man, for the most part, it was good. Amen. If you get people in a suffering situation, that attitude's usually the first thing to go. He said, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hey, it's easy to stand up here on the Sunday before Thanksgiving when my family is over there and my children are singing praises unto God. And it's easy to go up here and shout and say hallelujah. I mean, just have a great old time. But boy, when that suffering time comes, it starts getting a little bit like this. Now, God, I don't deserve it. Every time you get in a suffering situation, your first question is, what did I do? That's that guilty conscience, amen? My wife can be in a bad mood, and I automatically think, what did I do? I said, honey, what's wrong? Well, what did I do? Nothing. I've just got a headache. Oh, I just saw that sour look on your face. I just knew it had to be me, amen? We go in that period of suffering, we'll ask two questions. What did I do and why? What did I do and why? Maybe you didn't do nothing, but there is a why. There is a reason. When my son was laying in a coma several years ago, I'm human. I'm like everybody else. Why? All the way to the hospital following that life flight helicopter. God, why? Why is my son? Why are you doing this to me? Why are you doing this to my boy? God, why? Why, why, why? All the way through that thing till God gave me peace in the wee hours of the morning, the very same morning that he woke up out of the coma. I still didn't understand why, but Brother Burton, I didn't care. Why didn't matter anymore? Yes, brother. Why? I had the peace of God in my heart. Yes. Now looking back, I can see some of the whys. I can see what it did for me. I can see what it did for my wife. I can see what it did for my son, and now how that God's using my son. And brother, there's nobody, I know I'm prejudiced, but I love to hear my son preach. I enjoy hearing, and he digs out some pretty good little old nuggets and thoughts. He'll call me on the phone and say, Dad, what do you think about this? And I say, well, I never have. Amen. I like that. I like that. God's given him ability to write beautiful songs, and man, that is all. But I believe God had to carry us through that process of suffering to get us where we are today. Sometimes your suffering may not even be your suffering. It may be the suffering of somebody else. I apologize. I may get stuck right here. I got about six of these, but I may stay right here just for a few minutes. I remember several years ago, with just in a short period of time, I was in one 500 funeral homes. Bam, 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 bam. It was tragic stuff. It was the year Miss Lisa was killed in a head-on collision. It was the same year that Brother Robert Upton's niece, who we baptized here, got killed by, hit by a log truck. And both her little babies, they were like just months apart, just little bitty, bitty baby, buried her with a baby under each arm. It was just tragic thing. We had the brother die in our bathroom between Sunday school and church. And, brother, that thing began to weigh on me. The Bible said, weep with them that weep. I cry at funerals, man, when I don't even know the person I'm burying, but I know the family of them. And I see their sorrow, and I see that. Brother, that thing took a toll on my life. You can't be around. One of two things has happened. You're going to get around that, and it's going to have an effect on you, or it's going to make you hard. And I prayed through all of that, through all the weeping, through all the tears. I mean, it just seemed like a dark cloud was floating over my head. And if my phone rang, it meant somebody's dead. It was a process of suffering. And it wasn't my suffering, but I was suffering with those who were suffering.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I called Brother Fisher. Brother Fisher, I consider him to be my spiritual advisor, my pastor, if you will. And when I have trouble, I usually don't call him. He calls me. And that's not just my testimony. That's testimony of several preachers around the country. Every one of them say the same thing. It never fails when I'm going through something, Brother Fisher called. Usually in the wee hours of the morning. 6 o'clock my time means it's 3 his. My phone will ring, 6 o'clock a.m. I'll answer it. Hello, Brother Eddie, Brother Fisher. What's going on? Well, I was playing golf. I don't know what you think. Yeah. What's going on, Doc? What's the matter? God's got you on my heart. Amen. And I said, Preacher, I've had this many funerals in this many months. What do you think? He said, I don't know, brother. Sometimes your friends don't even know the answer. Sometimes those you look to for advice don't even have the right answer. But God has you in that moment of suffering, that period or that process for a reason. Amen. I'm not sure I could just stand here and really verbalize what God was doing through that process with me with all those funerals. I don't know if He is making me a wiser pastor. I don't know if He is making me a better counselor. I don't know all the details, but I know God had His hand in it. God had me in the middle of that for a reason. Amen. Suffering. Suffering is a process that God will allow you to go through. The Bible said ye must suffer. You will suffer. You're going to suffer. That's part of life. Hey, the only difference between you and the world, we can suffer with Christ. They're going to suffer without Him.
Amen.
Amen. I choose to suffer with Him.
Amen.
I had no idea. I was just a young Christian. Only had been saved just maybe, I don't know exactly. My wife's in the nursery. I'd have to have her in here to give us the dates. I wasn't called to preach. Just freshly say, we went to her grandmother's house in Rockmart for Sunday dinner. Her little sister and her boyfriend left 10 minutes ahead of us. When they left, they took two wrong turns, two little side roads. They went the wrong way. When we left, just by coincidence, you think, we took the same two wrong left turns. We wasn't following them. They were ahead of us. But we took the same two wrong turns they did. We came up on a wreck in the road. There lay my little sister-in-law in the middle of the road. State Patrol arrived. I told him who I was. He said, you go tell her, Mom. I didn't want that job. I didn't want that job. Suffering. Suffering. I went and found my mother-in-law. We put her in the car, and she's coming to pieces. Is she in here? She's coming apart. She's in the front seat. My wife and I are in the back. And my wife leans up and grabs her mother's shoulders. And she said, Mama, pray. She was hyperventilating. Sister Joyce got to praying. Boy, I'm telling you, peace of God moved in that car. We're baby Christians now. We're learning in suffering what God can do. We came home that night. You ever heard anybody suffer in their sleep? Moan and groan in their sleep? My wife was laying in the bed, and I was laying beside her. Keep in mind, we're both new Christians. My wife was moaning in her sleep. Oh, her heart was breaking. I crawled out of my bed, and I said, Lord, if you don't ever do anything else for me, that's okay. But give my wife some rest. Her snoring interrupted my praying. I got to shouting. And praising the Lord, didn't wake her up, Brother Freddie. You know what I was learning through that process of suffering? I don't have to go through it by myself. Amen. I don't have to go through it by myself. God's right there alongside of you. Amen. He's ready to hear you cry and answer your prayers. We need to be patient in our suffering. We just hang on. Hang on. Don't make any decisions while you're suffering. Don't make any big move while you're suffering. If you're going to make big decisions, do them on the mountaintop. Don't do them when you don't know which way's up. Amen. Look at Psalms chapter 40 and verse number 1. We need to be patient not only in suffering, but we need to be patient in sorrow. In sorrow. The psalmist said, I waited patiently for the Lord. What happened then? He heard my cry. Amen. Y'all give me a minute to get there. I don't want to mess that up. We need to be patient in suffering. We need to be patient in sorrow. He said, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined me His ear, or He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and He set my feet on a rock and established my going. He put a new song in my mouth and praise unto our God. And many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Listen, Jesus was a man of sorrow. Amen. Jesus was a man of sorrow. You ever feel like just everything in the world is working against you? Sometimes it may be. God may be having you to go through a time of sorrow. Maybe so you'll learn something more about Him. Maybe so you'll learn something more about other people. Amen. Hey, suffering and sorrow, they kind of go hand in hand. Those two kind of go together. They make you a better Christian if you allow it. If you'll be patient in the suffering and in the sorrow. Brother Tommy, come unscrewed again this morning. I kind of like it when he does that. Some people just nod their little heads, and some people might raise their hand. Some people just smile and do this. You know, not Brother Tommy. Some people might even shed a tear. But Brother Tommy just comes undone. I'm surprised his shirt stays on. I mean, he just jumps up and starts, shaking his fist in the air and shouting hallelujah and glory to God. You reckon some patience and suffering and sorrow got him to where he could worship God like that? Oh, yeah. Amen. You say, well, I wish I could worship God like that. Well, you may not like the process. You may not like the process. The process was a daughter with cancer from head to toe who God totally cured and healed. That was the process. The process was, a year and a half, 2 year period of suffering and anguish and sorrow and calling the preacher in the middle of the night and saying, I just need to cry, and just sit and listen to him cry. Sometimes it was mama calling saying, what am I going to do? How do I face my daughter? I mean, brother, it was a process that they went to. But now, if I've got a problem with cancer, I have somebody come to me and say, Brother Eddie, it's bad. We don't know what to do. Go see Tommy and Sheila. You okay? Brother William and Miss Jennifer lost a baby. We buried it on the hillside in Dallas, Georgia. If I have a young couple comes to me and say, hey, we've lost a baby and we don't know, I've never lost a baby. Go see Miss William and Jennifer. They'll help you out. Why? They've been through that process. Amen. Well, sometimes we want the outcome of the process, but listen, you don't get the process without the outcome without the process. Does that make sense? The ones who play in the Super Bowl, the ones who actually play in the game enjoy the ring better than those who sit on the bench. Amen. Why? They went through the process of the game. Does that make sense? Listen, we need to learn to be patient in suffering and sorrow. I've seen a lot of Christians quit when things got hard. I mean, just turn tail and run the other way. Listen, you never making any advancements if you're running away from God. Never. Never. If you know where you're where God wants you, be still. Be still. I don't care how bad the news is. Be still. He said, preacher, you don't know what you're talking about. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. I've seen people make some of the worst decisions in their life during a time of suffering and sorrow. Amen. Did you know you can't outrun it? It's going to be that way everywhere you go. You can't leave them behind. Amen. They will follow you. Lord, give us patience in suffering. Give us patience in sorrow. Just know the sun's coming up in the morning. Weeping may endure for the night, but the sun will rise. Amen. In those times when you feel like God's a million miles away, maybe when He's the closest. In those times when you feel like God's doing nothing in your life, maybe when He's doing the most. Amen. If I look back on my life, and I've said this 100 times, and I know you get tired of hearing some of the stuff I say over and over, but one of these days you're going to get it. When Jesus calmed the storm in Mark chapter number 4, He looked at His disciples and said, "How is it that you have no faith?" I know without, He quoted scripture a while ago, without faith it's impossible to please God. But the Lord's done some of the greatest miracles and the greatest works in my life when my faith was at its weakest. He's used my lack of faith to build my faith. Amen. I just got to where I believe He can do anything. I mean, I'm just that crazy. I believe God can do anything. Why? Because, man, I've been around this thing. Now I've been pastoring this church for 18 years, and I've seen God do stuff, and I just went, wow. Amen. And God says, you ought to have believed I could do that before I done it. Amen. I don't doubt Him one bit now. Amen. Hebrews chapter number 12. Go back to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter number 12. Y'all got a couple more minutes? Yes, Hebrews chapter number 12. I lost Hebrews. Hebrews chapter number 12. Verse number 1. Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every, what? Weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with what?
Patience,
the race that is set before us. Now, run and patience don't even go together. Have y'all ever thought about that? What are you talking about, run with patience, man? Give it some thought. Run with patience. Did you know, I got interested. You know, I preached a message on NASCAR here a while back and preached it around the country some and preached on them flags and went to a couple of races with Brother Stacy and I just really got to liking it. I mean, once you see it in person, it's different, ain't it? It ain't like watching on Sunday afternoon and going to sleep. But when you were sitting right there, ain't nobody sleeping at the racetrack, brother, except for them that's passed out somewhere. And there's some of them around, I guarantee you. But did you know the guy who leads the race usually at the beginning is not the winner? It's those guys that are patient. Those guys that'll pit when they need to pit, get fresh tires and gas when they need to stop. Every now and then, you got to stop.
Yeah.
Or you're not going to stay in the race, man.
Yeah.
Amen. Lightning McQueen messed up, man, because he didn't pit. He didn't go in and get some help when he needed it. Somebody help me right there. Amen. Hey, we need to be patient in suffering. We need to be patient in sorrow. But watch this. You need to be patient in success. Let me say it again. You need to be patient in success. Patience is necessary when we're gaining momentum in our life. Let me tell you a couple things that will happen. Number one, if you're not careful, you'll get overconfident. If you're not patient, you'll get to thinking it's you. You built that bus route. Look what a great man you are. God's gift to the bus ministry. Come on, help me. You better run with patience. You better slow down and realize this ain't all you. It's about 99% God and about 1% you. If that. We okay? I remember the first meeting I preached, it was a pretty large meeting. I was in New York, and I mean, there's about 1,500 people there, and man, I was just like, wow. And after the service was over, I'm standing at the platform, and they're lined up. I'm talking about a mile. Lined up. I never wrote my name so many times in my life. I'm signing Bibles. People are wanting their picture made. I'll be honest with you. For a little bit there, I got to thinking, Billy who? I have arrived. Amen.
Yes, sir,
come on. It affects you the same way. mean, how many people stop you every day and say, hey, can I get my picture made with you? I mean, that's pretty cool. And God's going, hey, stupid. Slow down, big boy. Don't write a book yet. Y'all all right? Don't start selling books, son. Just hang on. It ain't you, it's me.
Amen.
We'll get overconfident in the flesh just because God is using us. Because God is lifting us up to another level. Slow down. Run that race with patience. Amen? Listen, we'll get overconfident in ourselves, and if we're not careful, we'll be overworked. Y'all listening? I used to think every phone call was an open door. I've learned some phone calls are a temptation. I've learned over the last few years that there's just times I just say no. There's a couple of months this year that I didn't take any meetings. Just nope. The month of our youth rally, I said nope. I won't be around. Amen. Somebody said, well, preacher, I prayed about it and God laid you on my heart. That works two ways.
Amen.
Amen. Just because somebody asks you to do something don't mean it's God's will for you to do it.
Amen.
You can do too much.
Amen.
You can be going in so many different directions, you're not doing anything well.
Amen.
Amen. And a lot of times as a church, we're guilty of overloading you just because you're willing. And then we don't understand it when you burn out. Guilty. We okay? We need to be patient in success. I believe church growth can come too quickly. Let me say it again. I believe church growth can come too quickly. Our church grew at a rate that was unreal, wasn't it, Brother Charles? And it was outgrowing me. Does that make sense?
Amen.
It was getting bigger than I absolutely knew what to do. Of course, God knew exactly what to do. Amen?
Amen.
But we need to be patient in success. Amen. Just back up, slow down. You got 100 on your bus, hallelujah. You better be patient. You better realize that ain't you.
Amen.
It's God.
Amen.
Amen. Maybe you worked for it. Maybe God used you, but it was God.
Yes.
Amen. Maybe you watered. Maybe somebody else sowed, but God gives increase. You got to remember that. Amen. Keep that thing in your mind. Listen, we need to have patience in suffering, patience in sorrow. We need to learn patience in success. I know some preachers that, they're too big for their britches. Somebody put their picture in the sword and now they think they're God himself. I don't want my picture in the sword. Nothing against the sword. Y'all all right? I don't want the success of the ministry to pump me up to thinking I'm something I ain't.
Amen.
I can fall just like the next one. But I keep hitting the bus ministry tonight. That's one of the hardest ministries outside of a foreign mission field there is. It is a mission field. I've seen more people blow out of that than any other ministry, every ministry combined. Be patient. Let the Lord grow you. Let the Lord take you through the process. I talk about my mother a lot working in the bus ministry. She ran the same bus route for 25 years. I'd say she's patient. I'd say she's patient. I've seen her bring in two bus loads at a time. So I often refer to her. When people has a question, I often say, go talk to mama, amen? She knows what she's doing. But she stayed in it long enough to see the blessings of it. A lot of times we quit too soon because we're not patient, amen? We quit way too quick. You know what? Mother gets to stand up on her tippy toes as high as she can and hug Clint Massey's neck. I remember her walking out of the house with him in a little blanket like this on Sunday morning. I'm talking about one of our bus drivers, and his wife's our bus captain.
Amen.
Now imagine if she had not been patient, she'd have blew out long ago. She'd have missed the blessings of seeing what God was doing.
Yes.
Amen. That's just Clinton. That's just Clinton and Donna. We could also go with Randy and Gina, and we could also go with others, and we just keep on and on and on and on and on. I'm telling you, it pays off to be patient. Amen. Amen. I'll be honest with you, as the church grew, we faced problems. We faced trouble. We faced attack. There's a couple of times I thought, Brother Freddie, this is it. This is where I get off. If you're not careful, the devil will tell you that.
Yes, sir.
This is your jumping off point right here.
Yes, sir.
You look at all the process, you look at all the reasons, and you can justify everything. Just because you can justify it don't make it right.
Amen.
And God said, be patient. Be still. Be patient. You're in a bad state of mind right now. Don't make a decision.
Amen.
I started hearing those messages come back over and over. Different preachers. And I'd hear that saying, be still. Wait on the Lord. Don't do anything.
Hallelujah.
I'm sure glad God taught me some patience.
Amen.
Along the way.
Amen.
I'd be in another state right now. Or out of the ministry. Probably out of the ministry. Because I'd have missed the will of God. The will of God was that I suffer. The will of God was that I had some sorrow. That was the will of God. There's no doubt in my mind. The will of God was to stay put and stick it out. Amen.
Amen.
Patient in suffering, sorrow. Patient in success. Now watch this. Go to Psalms chapter number 37. You got time for two more?
Yes, sir.
Psalms chapter number 37. Now this is one right here where the Lord had to work on me a little bit. Psalms chapter 37, won't you look at verse number 7. The Bible said, rest in the Lord, and what?
Wait
patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Now watch this carefully. I said we need to be patient in suffering and sorrow. We need to be patient in success. We also need to learn to be patient in setbacks. We need to learn to be patient in setbacks. Setbacks are difficult to bear. They bring feelings of discouragement, defeat, humiliation. Listen, you're going to have setbacks. You ever felt like God just did something to you just to humble you? No other reason. Amen. You can see no other purpose in this than, I know, okay. Amen. You ever felt like God led you into something to make you look like a fool? Well, it got quiet on me. I have. Amen. Amen. God will use setbacks sometimes to humble you. And they'll humble you. And setbacks, I'm talking about, you're still going in the same direction. But you got sidetracked a little bit. It didn't work out like you did. Or what you're doing isn't doing as well as what somebody else is doing. If you're not careful, you'll let a slack period on your bus set you back. Last Sunday morning, I told Brother William, I was sitting on that platform, and I looked over at William, I said, ain't nobody here. This place was empty on a Sunday morning. I guarantee you there was room for 100 more people in this sanctuary last Sunday morning. I walked in here this morning. I got a little discouraged last Sunday morning. Lord just let me preach anyway. I walked in here this morning. I leaned over, looked at William. I said, you believe this? I said, it wasn't hardly nobody here last Sunday. Packed out today. God knows what He's doing. God knows what He's doing. If I'm not careful, I'll compare my ministry to Brother Fisher. If we're not careful, we'll start comparing what we're doing for God to what somebody else is doing for God, and you'll get discouraged. Somebody's running a bus route in an area where there's 50 trailer parks, and you're running a bus route where there's nothing but subdivisions, and you're upset because they got 60 and you can't hardly get 30. You all right? Is this making any sense? Be patient. God knows what He's doing. Amen. I remember the first year I went to pastor school at Hammond, Indiana. Dr. Jack Hiles. Oh, man. I'm talking about, boy, we are there. By the end of the week, I'm going to come home and resign. I'll be honest with you, Dr. Hiles was my hero and I loved him, but they had a way of making you feel like if you're not doing what we're doing, you're out of the will of God. I mean, it was a pressure thing. Y'all know what I'm talking about? If you're not winning this many souls a week and you're not running 250 buses and I'm, oh. Hey, man, finally I got home. I had sense enough to realize I'm where God wants me. I'm not pastoring a church in the middle of a major city with millions of people surrounding me. I'm in Paulding County, Georgia, now Carroll County, Georgia. I'm right where God wants me to be. I think I'm running about what God wants me to have. Amen? You okay? Don't worry about the setbacks. They come. They come. That's the way it is in anything. You never, ever see a professional football team that wins every game. Would you agree to that? No one organization has won every Super Bowl. Why? There's setbacks. There's good years. There's bad years. Amen. There's good days. There's bad days. Georgia went out last week and beat Auburn like they was using clubs. Auburn Tigers. Yesterday, they played Kentucky and liked to lost it. Yeah. Is that right? Yeah. What are you saying? You're going to have setbacks. Amen. You're going to have days where you don't feel like you're winning this thing. Right. You're going to have days when you feel like you've got that big L on your head and everybody's looking at you going, loser, loser, loser. You're not a loser. Just because you didn't get the bus award, you're not a loser. Yeah. You're still in the fight. You're still in the game. You still got a bus that you're the captain of. Hallelujah. Don't give up when there is a setback comes your way. Amen. And a lot of things can cause setbacks. Sometimes it's you. Sometimes it's me. I'm talking about for myself. Amen. Mama used to say, you made your bed, sleep in it. I never figured that out till I was grown. Amen. God has a purpose in allowing setbacks. We got to learn to trust in Him, knowing that His ways are always best. Wait patiently. Wait patiently. Romans 8:28. Wait patiently for the Lord. For all things work to good. Amen. Is that right? For them that love God who are called according to His purpose. You better learn to wait when the setbacks come your way. Something comes and you think, why in the world? I can see no reason for this. There is one. There is one. In my life, what I've learned, it's not just one. Usually, it's many. It's many. Over the years, I've learned, I see why I went through that. Somebody will come in my office and sit down and say, preacher, we need help with this area right here. And I'm going, uh-huh. I know why I'm not having to send you somebody else, because God put me right where you are one time. And I'm going to tell you what God did for me. Amen. Y'all okay? Don't quit during the setbacks. Don't quit during the downtime. I know it's tough. I know it's discouraging. I get discouraged too. Amen. I get discouraged too. When Brother Todd was having to be out, and Miss Janice does a wonderful job, but she don't know all the songs they know and all that stuff. When Todd was having to be out for all that work, I thought, Lord, man, we need Todd here. God knew what he's doing. God knew exactly what he was doing. Amen. I get discouraged when the numbers are off. I get discouraged when the offering's down. So I stay pretty discouraged. Amen. I'm human too. You know what I realize? It's just a setback. It's just a setback. Maybe the Lord's saying, if I gave you more money than you absolutely needed right now, you'd do something foolish with it. There's a thought. We okay? Don't get discouraged just because it's not going wide open, because you're not up on the mountain and God's not blessing in every area of your life and things are just fruit here, fruit here, fruit here. I mean, it's just revival all the time. That ain't life. We don't live in camp meeting. Amen. Be patient in suffering, in sorrow, in success, in setbacks. Listen, let me give you one more. Hebrews chapter number 6. And I'm done. How many of you have trouble with patience? Hebrews chapter number 6. I've got news for you. There's hope for your situation. There's hope for your impatient situation. There's hope for your impatient condition. God can give you patience. How do you know? He's given me patience. I'm 10 times more patient now than I used to be. Amen. Now when things start happening too fast, it scares me. It does. I was like, oh, Lord, you're going to have to help me. You know, I'm kind of liking, maybe it's age, Brother Charles, I don't know. But I'm liking things to come a little slower. Because I can see them coming from way off. Amen. And be prepared when they get there. Amen. Listen, Hebrews chapter 6 and verse number 15. The Bible said, and so after. Well, watch this. So when? So when after he had patiently endured, watch this, he obtained the promise. Be patient in service. Paul said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I kept the faith. Henceforth, you know what that word henceforth means? After. After. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of life. Is that right? Henceforth, after, after. Hey, you better be patient or you won't get the after. Do you understand that? Brother Tommy is enjoying the after. Brother Burton is enjoying the after. But he had to go through the process and part of it painful to get to the after. Does that make sense? He had to go through something to get where he is today. And you're the same way. You may not have had something as tragic as their daughter was. You may not have had something as tragic as my son was. You may not have been through something as big, but God's put you through something. Why? So you could enjoy what was after. Amen. Amen. Hey, listen, my wife and I have been married now for 27 years. This December will be, I guess, be 28 here in a few weeks. Coming up quick, man. It snuck up on me. 28 years. Listen, man, in those early years, you wouldn't believe some stuff we fought over.
Amen.
Silly stuff. And now we just like, for real. Couples come in my office sometimes, and I don't mean to be this way, but especially the younger ones, only been married about a year, and I'm like biting my lip. Don't get the idea that I'm going to laugh at you if you come to me.
Right.
You know what I'm laughing at? You'll be all right. That's what I'm laughing at, Brother Fred. It's not laughing at you. You'll be all right. How do you know? Because we went through the same thing. Levi came home from college one year. We standing in the kitchen. And he said, Mom, he said, I've noticed something. She said, what? He said, you and Daddy don't ever fight no more. She said, we figured out it was just better to smooch.
Yeah.
Amen. We figured out the fighting wasn't worth it. Amen. And it's amazing what we don't fight over now that used to we'd have about killed one another. Sure, I'm glad I didn't jump ship. I'm going home with a hottie tonight. I'm going to celebrate my 28th anniversary with my precious wife. Amen. Could have jumped ship. Be patient. You better learn. Ask God to help you with that. I would be willing to bet that just about everybody has dealt with this or is dealing with this. God's not moving fast enough for you. God's not answering quick enough for you. You've prayed about this till you're tired of praying about it. You've given up on God. Don't give up on God. Don't give up on God. Read the end of Job. Around there around chapter 30, 31. Read through there. Oh, Job, he told it. He said, when I'm tried, he said, I shall come forth as gold. He said, my Redeemer's faithful. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Listen, read old Job. That's who Paul said, hey, look at Job. Remember how patient he was. Look at the end of Job. Not the beginning and the middle, but look at the end of Job. It'll pay. Just be patient.
Amen.
It'll be paid. Just be patient. Don't jump ship. Curse Job and die. You speak as one of the foolish women, he said. We're just going to sit and wait on God. Amen. Honey, why are we going through this? I ain't got a clue. Let's ask Bildad. Amen. Be patient. Let's stand to our feet tonight. Miss Janice, you come.
Is anybody else good at auctioneering? My throat is sore. I need an auctioneer. Miss Janice is going to sing. If you need this altar tonight, you come. Hey, I don't know how many times I've asked God, Lord, help me to be more patient. Help me to be more patient. You ever heard people use the term the patience of Job? That'd come right from where we preach tonight. Lord, help me be patient like that. Help me not to get out ahead of you. Help me not to jump out too quick. Just help me to be obedient. Miss Janice, you sing a verse. God, deal with your heart tonight, you come.